Welcome to Discovering the Jewish Jesus. I'm your host, Dustin Roberts, and today, Rabbi Schneider explains why God sets the time. Even as tensions rose during Jesus' earthly ministry, he fearlessly shared the good news, unscathed until his appointed hour. And here on this earth, we too will face tensions and conflicts. And Rabbi Schneider reminds us today that even in the darkest times of oppression and opposition, truth shines brightly because nothing happens unless the Lord wills it. This message is from our series, Mysteries in the Gospel of John. And to download Rabbi's study guide from our website, visit us online at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. And now, let's get started. Here's Rabbi.
John reveals to us insights, mysteries, truth that had been concealed but is now being revealed. He reveals to us deep mysteries that are not revealed in any of the other, what we call synoptic gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are synoptic gospels because they're all pretty much just tracing the historical ministry of Yeshua, where what Yochanan, what John does is he reveals to us unseen realities. Even going back to chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness could never comprehend it. And some translations read, or overcome it. And I love that. The darkness could never overcome it. And the light that's in us could never be overcome. So John reveals to us hidden mysteries. So as we pick up today in this journey through the Gospel of John, I'm going to pick up where we left off last time. I'm going to chapter 7. And we're looking today, first of all, beloved ones, at verse number 28. There had been a big controversy that was building. Some believed, some didn't believe. They were shouting at each other. Some said he was the Messiah. Others said he was a blasphemer and had a demon. Very, very divided. A lot of tension in the drama. So as we pick up today in verse number 28 of John 7, we read this. Then Jesus cried out. So I want you to get this. This is intense. Then Yeshua cried out in the temple, teaching and saying, "You both know me and know where I'm from. And I have not come of myself, but he who sent me is true, whom you do not know. I know him because I am from him and he sent me." And I believe that there were two things that were going on here. Because on the one hand, they were saying about Yeshua, he could not be the Messiah. Could anybody come out of the Galilee region? So I think in that sense, Jesus was saying, yeah, you know me. You know my mom and dad, Joseph or Joseph and Miriam or Mary. But I believe at another level, he was saying that the truth that I've been proclaiming to you deep in the center of your being, you know it. In other words, we're born with a knowledge of the light. The Bible says in the Gospel of John chapter 1 that Jesus enlighteneth every man that comes into the world. Everyone that is born into the earth has a witness of light that was put in them from the very beginning, from their conception, from their birth. This is the argument that the Apostle Paul makes in the book of Romans, that man is without excuse because that which can be known about God is clearly seen in the things that he's made. And there's an inner witness inside man so that all men deep in their heart, no matter how much they deny it, at one time at least, knew there was a God. I believe it's possible for people's conscience to become so seared that they no longer know there's a God. They've so seared their inner witness. They've so seared their conscience that they really don't believe there's a God. However, it's interesting that a lot of these people that argue that there is no God, all of a sudden they get in a car accident or something's going terribly wrong and they're caught in horrendous danger and they've been denying God for 30 years, yet all of a sudden when their life is at risk, what do? Jesus! All of a sudden they believe in God again. And so I believe that when Jesus was saying to these that were opposing him, when he cried out, "You both know me and know where I'm from," I believe that one of the things that was going on at a deeper level, beloved ones, is he was saying, "You may hate me, you may be denying me, you may be suppressing the truth for your own reasons of unrighteousness, but deep inside, the words that I'm speaking to you, which are anointed by the very Ruach, the very Spirit of God, deep in the center of your being, you know where they're coming from." The Bible says people suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So this is what's going on in John chapter 7 as we're in this portion of the text. And the narrative continues in the 30th verse. "So they were seeking to seize him, and no man laid his hand on him," get this now, "because his hour had not yet come." Lots of hostility towards Yeshua, those that were rejecting him, those that were denying him. They wanted to seize him, but they couldn't lay a hand on him, beloved ones. Why? Because his hour had not yet come. What does that say? What does that mean for you and me? I believe it means that nothing can touch us outside of God's sovereign purposes. They themselves, those that were opposing him, they wanted to seize him. They wanted to lay hold of him. We're going to go a few chapters more. We're going to see they began to plot to kill him, but they couldn't touch him. Why? Because Yeshua's hour to be crucified, to be taken, had not yet come. This tells me that as you and I are looking to the Lord, as we're walking with him, as we're in fellowship with him, there is a protection around our lives. Nothing can happen to us outside of God's sovereign purposes. Even as they could not lay a hand on Jesus because his hour had not yet come, I'm believing for my life by the grace of God in humility that my life is in God's hands, that nothing can get me, nothing can attack me, nobody can do anything to me unless the Lord permits it. Everything, beloved, is covered in our lives. In other words, the scripture tells us that you and I are protected by the power of God for the fullness of our salvation to be revealed. In other words, we're being protected right now while we're on the earth because we're getting to meet him face to face. So I hope this is encouraging to you today. We live in a dangerous world, but you know what? We need to believe that we're safe because God's got a purpose for our life, even as Jesus said, "No one takes his life from him. He lays it down on his own initiative." He was protected by the power of God. And so are you. I want you to believe for divine protection over your health today. I want you to believe for divine protection over your finances today. I want you to believe for divine protection over your family today. I want you to believe that God's covering is over your life, that he's watching over you, and nothing can touch you apart from his will. Listen to the verse again. "They were seeking to seize him, and no man laid his hand on him because his hour had not yet come." You are living, beloved, under God's perfect shelter. There's a saying that we say during the Feast of Sukkot, which is the Hebrew way to say the Feast of Tabernacles. And the Hebrew saying by which we greet each other during the Feast of Tabernacles is Sukkot Shalom. Sukkot Shalom. Most of you know that the word shalom means peace, wholeness, provision, everything that makes us whole. And Sukkot, it's a protective covering. The children of Israel lived under God's protective covering when they were in the wilderness. And when we know that we're living under Sukkot Shalom, under the protective covering of Yahweh, it gives us an inner peace. It gives us a security. It brings us to a place that we can walk in the divine rest that Yeshua purchased for us for his own blood. So before we move on, I want to say it once again. No one could lay their hand on Jesus. Why? Because the Father was watching over him. And the same thing is true for his beloved ones. The Lord loves you, my friend. The Lord loves you, his beloved child, with the same love with which he loves Jesus himself. You think about this. All the Father's love is focused on Jesus. All the Father's love, the burning love of the Father is always centered upon Yeshua. You know what? You and I have been grafted into Yeshua, which means that the same love and the same strength of that love that's on Yeshua is on you and I now, His body. Yeshua is the head, we're the body. You're protected in the love of God, even as Yeshua was.
You're listening to Discovering the Jewish Jesus, and Rabbi will be right back. If you're looking to better equip yourself in your study, pursuit, and growth in Jesus the Messiah, be sure to go online and explore our treasury of Messianic content. You'll find Messianic teaching tools and videos, information about God's seven annual feasts, the Hebrew names, titles of God, and so much more. This content is ready and available for you today online at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. Just as this program has been a blessing to you, you can multiply the blessing with others. It's simple when you become a monthly partner. Give a financial gift of any amount today or set up your monthly automated gift by calling this number, 800-777-7835. That's 800-777-7835. Or you can visit discoveringthejewishjesus.com when you give, you're equipping others for Jesus' return. And now, here is Rabbi Schneider.
But many of the crowd believed in him, and they were saying, when the Christ comes, he will not perform more signs than those which this man has performed, will he? And so big debate once again going on here, lots of drama. It keeps building. This is during the Feast of Sukkot now. We're in John chapter 7, and John chapter 7 is about Jesus going into the temple. He was teaching in the temple during the Feast of Tabernacles. So we're going to pick up now in verse number 37. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Yeshua is in the temple. It's during the Feast of Tabernacles, and now it's the seventh and the last day of this great feast of celebration. The last day, a ceremony took place known as Hoshana Rabbah. It was a water-pouring ceremony. It was called the Great Day of the Feast. And what would happen, beloved ones, is that the priests would gather, and the Levites would gather, and they would walk from the temple down to the Pool of Siloam. And then the priest would take a pitcher, and he would dip the pitcher into the Pool of Siloam, gather up water, then they would march back to the temple singing and praising. And we read stories of what took place literally during the time that the temple was standing in Yeshua's day. And the stories tell us that rabbis would be praising God, standing on their head, doing somersaults. I mean, they were ecstatic in praise. I mean, just craziness in the positive sense of the word. They were so exuberant with praise and celebration. And the reason is that when the priests and Levites got to the temple with the water in the pitcher from the Pool of Siloam, they would then pour that water on the altar at the temple. And that's when the praise would reach its craziest height. I mean, in the positive sense, just so over the top, because the water being poured out on the altar represented two things. It represented the rain, the physical rain, that Israel was looking for their father, for Father God, to pour out upon their land in the coming winter months, because this feast took place in the fall and winter was shortly to follow, so that they'd have a great full harvest in the spring. So that was the first reason that we're thanking and praising God for. But there's another reason that's just as important and actually much more important. And that is that the time that this took place, the time that I'm reading about historically 2,000 years ago, was a time where there was tremendous messianic fervor and excitement in Israel. The Jewish people were looking for the Messiah every day. That's why we read so much about the Messiah in not only the Gospels, but in the book of Acts and other places in the Scripture. It was a time of great messianic expectation. They were believing that Messiah would come any day, liberate Israel from under the yoke of the Romans who were occupying their land. They were looking for the fullness of the messianic prophecies to be fulfilled. And so that water being poured out on the altar on this day that we're reading about here represented the Spirit of the Lord, the Ruach, the breath of God that was to be poured out when Messiah came. So as the priest poured, beloved, that water on the altar at the temple during this last great day of the Feast of Tabernacles, it represented to the praisers that Messiah is coming soon and the Lord's Spirit will be poured forth upon the earth and it will cover the earth even as the waters cover the sea, a time of great messianic expectation. So on this day, when the water is being poured out with high messianic expectation, listen what Jesus says. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, the day that I've been describing called Hoshana Rabbah, Jesus stood and cried out saying, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." So Jesus was saying, "I am the one that you're looking for. If you come to me, the Spirit that you're looking for, the Ruach that you're praising Adonai for right now, the hope of your messianic expectation, if you come to me, you'll find your Messiah. I am the Messiah, and the Spirit that you seek will flow out of your innermost being, and you'll thirst no more." And so the next verse says, "But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus, Yeshua, was not yet glorified." And so tremendous high drama portion of historical narrative in the Word of God. And before we close, I just want to make a few comments about this great feast that is taking place in John 7, the Feast of Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. This is the feast of celebration. This is the feast where God commanded his people to rejoice before him every single day for the full length of the feast, which was 7 days, and then an extra day added on to the end of it for a total of 8 days when you include the extra day added on, which is actually a separate holiday, but it's still considered all, generally speaking, part of the Feast of Tabernacles. The theme was to rejoice before the Lord and give him thanks for all the good he's done in our life. And did you know that in the Torah, the Lord actually brought punishment on his people because they didn't rejoice before him and give him thanks for all the good that he had done for them? This is important for us to remember because the world is a hard place to live. And we encounter battles every single day. We encounter hardship every single day. Things go wrong every single day. I got home from work yesterday and I walked in the door and I said to Miss Cynthia, "How are you, hon?" And she tried to be positive, but I could tell that she wasn't as positive as she normally was. I said, "Well, I can tell by the sound of your voice, you know, what's wrong, hon?" She said, "You know, I hardly got anything done today. I had computer problems and technology problems all day." And the fact is that we're battling things every day, all of us. Challenges, all types, all variations. The point is life is hard. And when we run into these walls in life, sometimes if we're not careful, we can allow them to steal our joy. The Feast of Tabernacles is a feast that God gave Israel to celebrate every single year to remind them that they're to live a life of rejoicing before their Lord. You see, God is happy, and he wants us to be happy just because he's happy. He is our happiness. The Apostle Paul said, "Rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice." The same Apostle Paul that was beaten, shipwrecked, persecuted, and struggled, he also was living a life, beloved, of rejoicing. And the life of rejoicing that we lead, it's not a decision that's made from our emotion, but beloved, instead, it's an act of our will. God loves you today. Let's be faithful and choose to rejoice always, even as Jesus was rejoicing in John 7 in the temple during the Feast of Tabernacles.
Amen. Thank you, Rabbi. You're listening to Discovering the Jewish Jesus, and our Bible teacher is Rabbi Schneider. And I want to help encourage you today to keep listening because he'll be back shortly with a sacred blessing. And if you've missed any portion of this message on why God sets the time, you can find the complete message online. Learn more and visit our website at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. And you know, our website, it also contains lots of videos and resources. They're designed to help you reconnect with the limitless power and the presence of King Jesus, because helping you understand more about the Bible and God's plans and purposes, that's what we love to do. But we couldn't do that or make these resources and daily programs available without your prayers and consistent financial support. So thank you. And now here's Rabbi with more.
Thanks, Dustin. Beloved, one of the things I'm always examining myself about and lifting my heart up to the Lord for is to make sure that I'm as much of a giver as He's called us to be. I mean, we think about those first disciples in the book of Acts, and they were selling all their possessions and putting all the money in one pool. And we think about Ananias and Sapphira that sold their possessions and held back just a little bit of it and how God struck them dead. And when I read about that, I feel like, oh my gosh, Lord, you know, am I living right? I mean, I'm trying to be generous. I'm trying to show love to everybody, but I haven't sold all my possessions and given them all away so that I don't have a house or retirement or a bank account. And so I think there's wisdom and I think there's balance in this, but I'm always asking myself, Lord, am I doing enough? And so I would simply say the same thing to all of us. We need to make sure that we're sowing our finances into the kingdom of God. And Yeshua promised it would come back pressed down, good measure, and running over into our laps.
To give today, call 800-777-7835. Or if you prefer the convenience of online giving, simply visit us online at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. You can also text in your gift. Just text the keyword Rabbi to the number 45777 and follow the instructions on the screen. It's your faithful support that fuels this mission. As a token of our appreciation for your generous gifts, we want to send you our latest newsletter. It's filled with insights that'll help deepen your connection with the Father. And then if you sign up to become a new monthly partner today, we'll also send you a genuine shofar that's been exquisitely handcrafted in Israel. And this beautifully designed instrument, it's blown on God's appointed days. And speaking of God's holy days, Passover is coming up next week. Passover, or Pesach, as it's known in the Hebrew language, is the time of year when the priest would climb the wall, blow the shofar, and announce that the lamb had been slain. And today, Jesus is our eternal Passover lamb. And to learn more about Passover, which begins at sunset on April the 22nd and ends at nightfall, April the 30th, visit discoveringthejewishjesus.com. And now, let's wrap up today's message with that special blessing from Rabbi that I mentioned earlier.
In the Old Testament book of Numbers, we find a blessing God speaks over His children through Moses and Aaron. It carries the idea of favor and expression. Open your heart to the Spirit and the Word today and receive Father's goodness into your life with confidence.
Yavarechecha Yahweh Vayishmarecha Ya'er Yahweh panav elecha v'hunecha Yisa Yahweh panav elecha ve'asem lecha Shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift you up with His countenance, and the Lord give you, beloved one, His peace. God bless you and shalom.
Discovering the Jewish Jesus is a production of Shalom Ministries. Be sure to join us again next week when Rabbi Schneider presents a special Passover message titled A Blueprint of the End Times. That's Monday on Discovering the Jewish Jesus.